the Seagram's block of Oshawa, Ontario. I'm an idol.
Don't be scared, homie.
Come on. Okay, first of all,
the world is smiling at you. The wrestling business is smiling at you. And don't you frown back on it.
Surprise, surprise, motherfucker. The king is back.
The man to power, the man with the power. Too sweet to be sour.
Dylan Bunker.
All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, talking to UPC middleweight champion, going at Bellator 182. It is August 25th, taking on Kevin Casey at middleweight. It is Chris the Cut Honeycutt. How's it going, man?
Good. How you doing, man? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to have you on. And I was sort of curious about this fight here that you've got coming up. I'm wondering what you think of, you know, Kevin as an opponent overall, because, I mean, you guys have somewhat comparable records. He is a bit more, a little bit more experienced than you, but I was wondering what your thoughts are on this fight.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good matchup for me. I just found out a couple of interviews ago that he was a black belt. I thought he was still a brown belt. He's obviously a really good jiu-jitsu. I was watching some of his fights, and you know, he does a decent job at holding people down on the cage, and you know, I feel like that would be a good matchup for me because I'm a wrestler since I was 4 or 5 years old, and you know, I'm known to push the pace and not be afraid to, you know, grapple and roll around.
So is this like the kind of guy that you feel like you need to be in there with at this point in your career? Someone who is like fairly seasoned, someone who has like a comparable level of experience. I mean, this is a guy who's been through UFC and a number of the bigger promotions, RFA as well.
Yeah, I think so. My last fight at 170 was against a black belt that was real good at doing like the leg locks and stuff like that. And I did very well against him. I think it's a little boring fight for some of the fans, but you know, when you get a high level jiu-jitsu guy like that, it's important to not play his game to not sacrifice just a couple of punches to fall into his game plan, but to, you know, shut that down right off the bat and stay on it. But you know, my goal of this fight isn't necessarily just to roll around with the whole fight and just, you know, use my wrestling, because I've been fighting for, you know, 4 or 5 solid years now at a high level. And I feel like my striking and my kickboxing and all that has come such a far way that it would be foolish for me to abandon that just to wrestle.
Yeah, you talked about the striking there, but you also mentioned the jiu-jitsu acumen a bit earlier, and as far as like what your opponents bring to the table jiu-jitsu-wise, have you been especially focused on jiu-jitsu this camp? Like, have you noticed large improvements in that specific area?
I wouldn't say a big percentage. Obviously, defensively, yes. I think even though my jiu-jitsu has gotten better and continues to get better, that my focus is never really so much to submit people, but it is to just stay out of trouble and to keep control. I mean, most of my ability in jiu-jitsu is to, to get on top and to control that position, because when you're on top, you're winning, unless the dude's really kind of like teeing off on you from the bottom. But I from the videos I've seen of Kevin Casey, that is not his forte.
Yeah, for sure. I just thought it was very interesting, like the learning curve that's tied to all of this, because I mean, specifically with wrestling, you've been doing that since you were, you know, 4 years old. You've had hundreds and hundreds of matches and been a 2-time NCAA Division I All-American. So was it exciting to get into mixed martial arts in the sense of, oh, I can, you know, essentially almost learn a lot of these things from scratch? Or was there like a difficult, sort of frustrating learning curve initially?
Yeah, no, there was definitely a learning curve. I've never learned wrestling because I grew up with it. I can't remember a day where I didn't know what I was doing. Just from such a young age, when you're that young, you don't really know what you're doing, but you kind of go along with it because it's just fun and something to do. And then as you get older, obviously you get more and more competitive, or you compete more and more and get more competitive. And, you know, you just kind of pick it up along the way. So by the time I got to college, it wasn't like a huge transition. But, you know, when I came into the MMA world, I had to learn the striking. I had to learn all that from scratch and not knowing anything going into it other than the concept of, well, obviously you got to, you know, stick your arm out, hit the guy in the face. But so there was definitely a learning curve there. But and I wouldn't even say I picked it up real fast. But once I got the ball rolling, I got more excited. I got even more excited. I mean, I was very excited going into MMA. And then as the ball got rolling, I feel like I started learning faster. And then today, even I feel like today I'm growing faster than I have at any point in time, just because the confidence in my abilities are becoming more and more noticeable in not just fights, but in sparring and in the everyday workout activities.
Yeah, you've got to work some interesting people training out of Dethrone there in Fresno. I mean, get to, you know, work out with, I mean, a who's who, really. I mean, guys like Koscheck you're working with regularly, but I've also seen other instances where you're working out with guys like, you know, DC, Rockhold, Crazy Bob Cook, guys like that. So, I mean, you're in there, and you must just be like a sponge in the room, just constantly, you know, asking questions, picking their brain, just refining your overall game.
Yeah, and I have Ernest James, Deron Wynn, and Ed Bruce to keep me on my toes in wrestling. I mean, they're not too far off from the, you know, especially Deron Wynn and Ed Bruce. I mean, they've been out for, let's say, about a year or two now, but they're relatively right off the blocks of, you know, competing at the very highest level that you can compete in wrestling. So it's everything's sharp.
Yeah, right on. And they're like big names in the sport in terms of star power as well. I feel like this is somewhat of an underexplored aspect of the game, because it seems like with each new fight you're getting, it's on a bigger sort of platform with, you know, more of a spotlight on you. So I was wondering if being in the room with a lot of these guys and talking to them and just, you know, picking their brain helps with certain, you know, like aspects of the mental game and confidence levels as the cards keep getting bigger for you.
Yeah, anytime that you, you know, you're fighting, and then, you know, they're getting the better of you, and then, you know, as the years go on, you start to, you know, you start to be more and more competitive with everyone. They, it's not just good because that you're doing better, but it's good for your confidence too. So to be able to, you know, hang with them and not even just like survive or is it just do good, but to actually get the better of them, it kind of emphasizes the growth in your abilities. So I look forward. I mean, I'm really, really excited to fight Kevin Casey in just a few days from now. And, I almost wish it was this Friday.
Yeah, that's cool. I was just wondering if it was, like, because of the bigger cards and all, like, with you guys like Rockhold and DC being associated with that. I guess you're not a guy who gets flustered by the bright lights being put on you so much, eh?
No, I've always kind of rose to those occasions. I feel like it's actually harder to put the power or to put that kind of mentality in the gym when you only got two or three people watching you. But I feel like when, you know, you add fans to it, it just makes everything more exciting. Ultimately we're entertainment. We're in the entertainment business. So I get to entertain other people, and I like doing that. So it makes it more exciting for me.
Yeah, that's a cool way to look at it. And I noticed Bellator has a certain system with some of these, you know, elite wrestlers coming into the promotion, these, like, blue-chip prospects, guys like Ed Ruth, Aaron Pico, Terrell Fortune, guys like that. So as a decorated amateur wrestler yourself, I was wondering what your thoughts were on Bellator's sort of process of bringing these guys up and getting the blue-chip prospects into their promotion.
Yeah, definitely. I enjoy it a lot. I mean, I'm enjoying the ride. I mean, obviously this year has been a little slow. This is my first fight of the year, but I got four in last year, and if I have any control of it, I'd like to fight again this year, and if not twice, and then I think next year hopefully I can I can fight three or four times.
Yeah, you've got a good record in the promotion so far, too. I mean, five wins. I mean, there was the one loss, one no contest. But, I mean, you got a good record, and you've been on a streak as of late. So I was also noticing, though, that you competed at welterweight along with what you've been doing in the middleweight division. Is there a certain division you're looking to stay in regularly going forward? Like, do you see a quicker path to the title at 85 compared to 170?
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm pretty much settled in at 185 now for the long haul. I'm never opposed to going down to welterweight. I mean, just because of all the new weight cutting rules and all those being implemented, and seeing some people's fights getting cut due to weight cutting, it's just not that additional pressure isn't worth it. So, not that I'm not opposed to going back down to welterweight for any particular fight, especially if the fans really want to see it. I'm always willing to go down, but 185 is much more comfortable for me, and I've actually obviously had success in it, and I continue to do so. And as far as making a run at for the belt, I think middleweight's where it's at.
Yeah, and I think fans want fighters to be competing at their optimum weight, where they're not killing themselves to get to the scale, and then they're depleted when they get up there. I just figure there's a few catch weights in Bellator, so maybe you go back and forth or whatever. But it's a really interesting middleweight division. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on any sort of future opponents going ahead. I know you're not overlooking Casey here, but is there any guys that interest you?
The guy with the belt. I'm always striving to be the best. And I think as long as I, keep winning fights, that eventually that time will come, and I will certainly seize that moment to the very, very best of my abilities, and I'm willing to cut my arm off for it. So at this moment in time, Kevin Casey is the only thing that matters. And once that fight's over, I just got to keep getting better, because when that opportunity comes for a title fight, that's not something that comes around very often. So you got to seize that moment.
Yeah. And imagine you have some degree of a mental advantage over some of these other contenders, since you won a middleweight title prior. You were the UPC middleweight champion. You went all five rounds in winning that belt. And then you also had the experience defending it. So, a lot of different looks there that maybe not a lot of the other Bellator contenders have had so far.
Yeah. Nothing beats success. So, there's no greater feeling than, than winning a fight, other than winning a fight when it's for a belt. But, it's exciting. It's just, it's different than wrestling, where you can do it on a week-to-week basis. Having the, in this case, it's been like 8 months now, but, typically, it's like, 4 or 5 months, 3 months between fights. And so it gets kind of stagnant there for a little bit. But, every day I wake up and I go out there and I try to, get better somehow in my job and in mixed martial arts.
Yeah, and you've got a lot of interesting middleweights that are coming through. You already had guys like Shlemenko in the fold, guys like Melvin Manhoff, obviously the champion Carvalho there, but Gegard Mousasi coming in as well. So it must be cool kind of benefiting with that. The more like free agents oriented aspects nowadays, but it seemed like you were trying to get something going on in that regard as well. It seemed like you were putting out a tweet, seeing if you could get on a Japan card back in like September 2015.
Oh, the Ryzen.
Yeah. The tweet was saying I finished taking care of business on December 11th and then try to get a Japan fight, because you like fast turnarounds. Is that something you'd like to kind of get involved with in the future? Like, is that a...
I would love that. I would love that. I would love to be able to, to go abroad and be able to showcase my abilities, to not just, on Spike TV, but to broadcast to be a, international. I feel like with my wrestling pedigree and the amount of work that I put forth in my striking, that fighting over in Japan would I'd be totally thrilled to do that.
Yeah, I get to throw some soccer kicks and face stomps and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think my biggest wonder would be, do I want to wear wrestling shoes or not wear wrestling shoes? Because coming out of wrestling, I'm always just like, oh my God, it'd be so awesome to wear wrestling shoes and fight, because you don't have to worry about, stubbing your toe or anything like that.
Yeah.
But now that I've fought barefoot so long, it's like, I don't even know if I want to wear wrestling shoes, because when I do stub my toe in practice once in a while, I'll wear one shoe or I'll put my shoes on for a couple of days to kind of, you know, give it a chance to take a break. And I find the shoes to be so heavy and they can and slows me down. So I don't know, I get kind of humor just trying to think about how when I was like, oh, I wish I could just wear shoes, and now I just don't want to.
Yeah, exactly. Make things just a little bit easier there. But as far as music, I mean, music generally makes things a bit easier when you're training and whatnot. Is there a certain go-to genre or group of artists that get you fired up when you're putting in the work in the gym?
I mean, when I'm actually just working out and training, I mean, I let the other guys pretty much take care of music. So whatever they put on, I really don't even notice that music's even on. Someone will be like, wow, it's so boring, turn some music on. And really, as long as I'm working out, it really doesn't matter. I get so kind of focused in on what I'm doing that I kind of self-entertain myself in my mind and focusing on what I need to do. But when I'm jumping rope or hitting speed bag or hitting a double end bag and I have the headphones on, I typically listen to like high-paced technos or hard rock or something that keeps the high-paced mentality, because I feel like it speeds your heart rate up. I know when I'm cutting down to welterweight, I would need to go on the treadmill during the winter times because it's cold, and then sometimes it's too hot to really run when it's like 107 out. So I'm typically on a treadmill, and when I was cutting down to welterweight, I have to be on a treadmill for, you know, sometimes an hour running, doing 6, 7, 8 miles. So I would actually listen to a lot of Yo-Yo Ma and some he's a famous cello player, where it's really low, soothing, relaxing, so that I could, you know, run those long distances without having my heart rate go up. But when I'm jumping rope and hitting the speed bag, I want to get that heart rate going as fast as I can.
No, that's a really cool way to think about it, just like keeping in mind like a certain idea of like what the beats per minute are. You get the more hype stuff for like the, you know, fast twitch muscle fiber kind of exercises, and for like the longer drawn out stuff, you have something that's kind of suitably chill. I like that. It's cool.
Yeah, definitely.
But one thing I was noticing too, that for the Battlegrounds MMA promotion, when they put on that big tournament they were having, I noticed that you were one of the individuals initially slated for that show. This was fresh off your run with UPC. It was even before you got in Bellator. So why didn't that come to fruition? I was kind of curious when I saw that there.
I can't remember what happened, but they actually postponed it a few months or so, or something happened. And I was really looking forward to that. I think it was like a 8-man term or something like that. And the winner was at like, I think it was like $50,000. And, you know, I was rough UPT and UPT isn't paying $50,000. So when I saw that opportunity, I was jumping on it, and I felt like that was perfect for me, because, you know, I was still like read all the blocks of wrestling. So I was used to, you know, competing 4 or 5 times, sometimes even 6 times in a single day. So that was, to me, that was beautiful, because as long as after the first and second match or the fight or so, it was like, I kept my rhythm, you know, you're in deep shit, because I build off of it, and it's a snowball effect, and my cardio is unbelievable. So I feel like that played into my favor, but I can't remember what happened. It got postponed, and then that's when I signed the Bellator, and I was able to get a fight before that show took place. And I'm actually, and that disappointed me a little bit, so I was really looking forward to doing that. But, you know, this is my full-time job, so it made a paycheck, and I'm taking it.
Hey, Dylan, last question here, okay?
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I was actually going to ask if there was anything that Chris wanted to add as he's wrapping up here.
Yeah, well, my Twitter is Chris Kakak, so is my Instagram, and I want to thank Oak Grove for, you know, supporting me since day one, every fight along the way, and, you know, my management, Crazy Bob Cook and Dwayne Zinkin.
And people have to check out that next fight of yours. Bellator 182 goes August 25th, taking on Kevin Casey at middleweight. thanks for the time, and had an awesome time talking to Chris the Cut Honeycutt. Hope you enjoy the rest of your night there, man.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for putting me on. I appreciate it.